Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Mike. So, did you hear the rumor about the butter? Wait a minute, we're in church. I don't want to spread that. You know, because, never mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you were at Jubilee? If you're new with us, Jubilee, oh, come on, we can do better than that. Jubilee. If you're new with us, Jubilee is once a year we get together. We are many locations, but one church. And we get together from all the different locations into, it's like a family reunion. And it was amazing and it was awesome. And we review the things that God did and said last year. We look at how he's brought us along. And then we all come together with one heart, with one purpose, and we listen for what he would tell us for the year that's coming. And it was just amazing. It was awesome. And so we're coming off of a whole week of Jubilee. Lots of great word was shared. But one of the things that really impressed me was we started a new series called The Gift of Belonging. Now, everybody just look over your left shoulder at the wall there. We believe that. You belong here. We believe it. We believe that you are a gift to the church, and the church is a gift to you. So we started a series called The Gift of Belonging. And I taught sort of the theological and biblical framework of the church, and then the Holy Spirit just put it on my heart, and I sent it out to the team. Let's have members of the team come up and just conversationally share their testimony about how being a part of the church has become a part of who they are, the gift of belonging, and how that worked in their life. We're at Jubilee on the last day, and the founding pastor of Victory Life Church, Pastor Dwayne Sheriff, says to our pastor, Pastor Jacob Sheriff, who's his son, from the stage, he's like, we don't share testimony enough in the church anymore. Remember that? And I leaned over to Melissa, and I was like, we started doing that last week. How many of you were here with when Mike and Carrie were up here sharing, you know, coming from a place of hurt and pain, and then having a yes in your heart and leaning into what God's doing in his church and allowing him to connect you where you are called? And they went from that to being leaders on a campus locally, but then also what he didn't tell you is that they're in charge of missions for Victory Life as a whole. They take people from every campus to Kenya and Honduras, and they've been several times. Let's praise God for that. And so the idea as we continue is we're just sharing the gift of belonging, and testimony is such a powerful part of being in the body of believers, testimony. And so it reminds me of the scripture. Let's put up the 1 Corinthians scripture. Hello? I think it's funny. Watch this now. It's 2 Corinthians. There it is. 2 Corinthians. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Where are you at? Where'd it go? There we go. Well, I'll read it from my phone. 2 Corinthians 3:3, it says, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Right? The Bible says that your life, like we have epistles in the Bible. We have letters. Epistle means letter. It's a teaching letter. We have letters in the Bible, but the Bible itself says that God writes things on your heart, and you become a living epistle, a living letter. Right? And isn't it funny how we, Jason, I'm not even going to be able to sit down. You might as well just bring me the, I can't sit down. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry, guys. Ain't going to happen. I got too much preaching me. So isn't it funny how we respond to story? Humans respond to story. Whether it's the show that you're watching or the book that you're reading, even whether it's entertainment or whether it's learning, we all respond to story. And that's because that's how life comes to us. There's a plot. There are characters. There's a context. Life doesn't work. Has anybody noticed life doesn't work like a neat little math problem? Right? It doesn't. It doesn't work like a 2 + 2, right? The closest math that I can think of that even equates to life is like X equals what? You got to figure it out, right? First time I started reading like algebra, I was like, wait, there's letters in there. No, this is math. Hey, teacher, numbers. Where did the letters come from? Are you with me? We respond to story, okay? So I want you to read, this is a quote from George MacDonald. Just as no scripture is of any private interpretation, there is no feeling in the human heart that exists in that heart alone, which does not also in some form or degree exist and reside in every heart. Amen? So I'm believing today as I share my story, parts of it, that it's going to be a letter to you. And that at the end of the service, Jesus is going to sign that letter in your heart. You believing with me for that? Well, let's pray then. Let's set our hearts. Let's posture our hearts. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you that it's your word that's a lamp unto our feet, that it's your word that's a light unto our path, and that it's your spirit that's our teacher today, that I'm a vessel for pouring, and these, your sheep, are vessels for receiving, and it's your Holy Spirit that's our teacher today. And he doesn't just give us information. He brings revelation that makes available transformation. And we declare as a congregation that we will receive comfort and conviction from your word today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So I want to take you with me into my past to Green Acres, Florida in the 90s. I'm sitting on the tailgate of a Ford F-150 weeping, high as a kite, broken, looking up at the stars. Calling out to God. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember saying, I'm tired of trying to make myself happy. And you said that you could make my life worth living. You said you could make me happy. And so if you can do that, I'll live for you. Now there's a context to this conversation. There's a context. In order to get the context, you've got to rewind all the way back to like 1982, 81. I'm sitting in a car. I'm 5 years old. And my dad is explaining to me that my parents are going through a divorce. And I remember thinking, now I want to remind you, at this point, nobody's saved. Does anybody ever make a subtle agreement with the enemy? You think something, and something on the inside of you says, that's true. And you agree with it. and it becomes a part of you? Did you know that can be true from God's word and it can shape you, or it can be a lie straight from the enemy? But if you accept it and believe it, it will shape you. And I made an agreement with the enemy that day. If I'm going to be happy, I'm going to have to make it happen. Now, I didn't have the protections of a Christian family yet. We're going to get to the gift of belonging. Now, if that statement gives you fear, let's stop and say it out loud right now. I rebuke fear. We're not talking about fear. We're just talking about that's how life works. Yes, I will. Thank you, Lord. So let me just say, you parents, whether you're Christian or not, you still have to fill in the blanks, or the devil will. Never let the enemy fill in the blanks for your kids. Don't let him fill in the blanks. Are you with me? So many times, I don't want to talk about that. Okay. So many times we will try to shelter our children from something. Don't watch that, it's bad. And sometimes you need to. But oftentimes, what you need to do is watch two of them with them and say, nah, 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 bring it up, have the conversation, and then say, well, because of this, we're not watching that anymore. Are you with me? So that they experience the why. But that requires your attention, and that requires hard conversation. But don't let the enemy fill in the blanks for your kids. Okay? Here's the great thing. God is in the redeeming business, and God can redeem anything. I told you I wasn't going to be able to sit down. God can redeem anything. God entered into that situation. And out of that situation, my father had an encounter with Jesus personally. And it changed the direction of our lineage, our legacy. So we started going to church. My dad actually had a gift and rose up in the church and became a leader in the church. And we went to a very early legalistic Pentecostal church. We don't cuss and we don't chew and we don't go with boys that do, or girls, right? And if you didn't listen to secular music, and if you were listening to secular music and you got in a car accident, well, you would just go straight to hell. Why do you think we follow, what do we follow here, guys? Rules of biblical interpretation. Why do you think I always hammer on that? You'll see as I tell the story. This is why I always stick with the word and the rules to interpreting the word. But I grew up in the church. I learned all about God. I learned all about the Bible. I was a scriptorian by the time I was 10. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 6. And we were living a Christian life. And God put my dad's life back together. He got remarried. I had a brother and a sister. Things were well. He was blessing us, blessing our socks off. Things were well. We were good. But how many of you know in this world you have tribulation? And sometimes you do have to suffer for the gospel's sake. So there was another divorce. One person didn't want to follow God, and one person did. That's suffering for Christ's sake. And let me just say this, if you've ever had to suffer for Christ's sake, if you've ever had to walk away or let walk away from you, husband or wife or sister or brother or mother, when Stephen was suffering for the sake of Jesus, he had a vision. He saw heaven open up and he saw Jesus. Now the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. What Stephen saw was Jesus standing. And what that shows us is when you suffer for Christ's sake, Jesus stands and honors your suffering. So here's the deal. What should have happened didn't happen. See, what should have happened is the church should have came around my family like we do, like it should be done, and bring ministry, try to bring reconciliation. If reconciliation isn't possible, then bring comfort and next steps and redemption. So either reconciliation or redemption, and you push people towards Jesus. That's not what happened, because they had a rule. They had a rule. Now, their rule was based on Scripture, a really, really bad interpretation of Scripture. Like, you almost have to be stupid to read it that way. But they believed it for years. And here's the crazy thing. I won't even mention the denomination, but they don't even believe it now because it was just idiotic. Like, no thinking person could read that and think what it said, which is why we follow. Right? So what ended up happening? I got mad. I got mad because here I watched my father give his life to Christ and give his life to the church. And then as soon as it didn't go the way they thought it should go, they held him responsible and accountable, and he lost his position. And I got so spitting mad, I walked out of the church. What are we talking about? I'm not digressing. I'm talking about the gift of belonging. Here's the problem. Once I walked out of the church, what happens when you, I love Jesus, but I don't like Jesus's bride? Well, let me just tell you this. If you say you love Jesus, if you're head over heels following hard after Jesus, then you love what Jesus loves. And what does Jesus love most? His bride, the church. Right? But here's the thing. Think about this now. Pastor Jacob told a story at Jubilee about aspen trees and about how they are actually created to withstand avalanches, because not only do they grow tall, but they share their root system. So if these start to fall over, the ones that are on either side of them, their roots will grab their roots and keep them rooted and keep them anchored. Are you with me? But I'm not from Aspen. I'm not from the mountains. I'm an old Florida boy. I'm from South Florida. I was born in Gainesville, right across from Gator Stadium. I grew up in a little town called Wauchula, Florida. It was about the size of, Morrison. And my daddy owned orange groves, citrus groves. So I don't know about aspen trees, but I can tell you about citrus trees. There's a tree called a clementine tangerine. Daddy knows where I'm going with this. Now, a clementine tangerine, most citrus trees will self-pollinate. They're self-fruiting trees. They can produce fruit, just one single tree. But there's something different about a clementine. It's a citrus tree, but it's a different kind of citrus tree. How many of you know we're in this world, but we're not of it? Right? I'm a human being, but I'm a different kind of human being. Right? You become born again, you have a vertical relationship with Christ, but you have a personal relationship with Jesus, but it's not a private relationship with Jesus. It's personal, but it's not private. It's meant to be shared. There's a horizontal shared with his body. And we're built for that. So just like the clementine, if you take that clementine and you take it out of a grove and you set it off by itself, listen to me now. If you set it off by itself, it won't pollinate. Now it gets these great, big, beautiful white flowers. It looks real pretty. But there ain't no fruit. So guess what happened to me? My life looked real pretty. I ran right out into the world. I knew God, but I walked away from him, walked away from the church. And things started to look real pretty. I started to have a lot more fun. Fun. Right? But all of that fun and all of that prettiness without any fruit landed me in addiction and poverty. And I'm a preacher's kid. Call of God on my life. Anointed from the time I was young. But I've been through some things. And I held Jesus responsible for how someone else treated me. Somebody may have hurt you, and they may have even done it in the name of Jesus, but that wasn't Jesus. How do you know it wasn't Jesus? You go to his word. We'll get there. I'll get you there. I'm not digressing. It all goes back to the word. But this finds me in a situation where I've been living a life of hedonism, worldliness, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And it looked pretty. Remember the tree. Don't forget the tree. It all looked pretty. But you don't get any fruit from that tree. So what happens if you're with a tree that doesn't have any fruit on it? It's pretty as all get out, but you're not getting fed. There's no sustenance. So you start to die. Your life just starts to go downhill. And all those great friends, all those pretty friends, pretty, shiny, great friends that I had, as soon as the weed was gone, as soon as the drugs were gone, as soon as I didn't have the cash, as soon as I wasn't convenient, as soon as I needed something, as soon as I was messy, as soon as I was in trouble, I wasn't pretty anymore, so they kicked me to the curb. And I found myself alone. I want to tell you young people in here today, don't fall for it, man. This world will eat you up and spit you out. So I'm sitting on a tailgate, looking up at the stars, high as all get out, weeping, no place to go. A family took me in that I barely knew. And I was sleeping on their couch, trying to get clean so I could find a job, so that I had food, so that I could be on my own again. And I remember my dad telling me, there's a church nearby. We didn't live in the same place. Because again, he was still wanted to live for God. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. So I was mad at God. Some of y'all need to forgive God. Not because he did anything, but because you're holding something against him. They didn't have anything to do with him. I'm gonna let that sit there for a minute. I didn't say God did anything wrong. I said you hold him accountable for something he didn't do. You're mad at him, and it ain't his fault. You reading the letter? Is he writing it on your heart right now? So I take my little friend. I had this little Brazilian kid that I was mentoring. Because I was a pastor, I had a call of God on my life, even when I was out in the world. But what that looked like was me pastoring this kid to be the best raver he could be and know how to function in the club and know how to get drugs and sell drugs and do the things that you do to survive when you're living from rave to rave with no job. And if you think I'm exaggerating, my daddy's sitting right back there. He can confirm it. So here's the deal. I walk into church and I meet a lady named Pastor Peggy. And that woman saved me. We walk in and I hear her preach her Cruz Anne liquor stand story. If you know Pastor Peggy, many of you know her. She tells this story about the same sort of us. She was out carousing and she was in the Cruz Anne liquor stand when the Holy Spirit got a hold of her. What are you doing with your life? And she said this statement in the closing. You can go 1,000 steps away from God. He's always just one step back. And she came to me. Now, I want to paint a picture for you. We're in a Spirit-filled church. I'm wearing JNCOs. And my friend with the chain, you know, and the backpack. I smell like weed to high heaven. I've got weed on me. And I'm high as a kite. And in the middle of all of that, the Holy Spirit just gets a hold of me. Boom. And she comes to me after service and just prophesies right to my face. You've got a call of God on your life. And you've been running from him. And he wants you to know he loves you. And you can go 1,000 steps away, but he's always just one step back. Where do you live? Keep coming. Just keep coming. Okay? So I'm like, well, that's all well and good. So I'm walking home from that service, smoking a cigarette with my friend. Here comes Pastor Peggy. Hey, y'all, it was good to see you guys. I'm like hiding the cigarette. You know what I mean? She's like, you don't have to do that. It's not good for you, but you don't have to hide it from me. Just keep coming. So sure enough, next Sunday, I'm there. Now, I'm living out of a backpack at this point. So I show up in those same JNCOs, smelling like weed. On a Sunday morning, I was uncomfortable. Juan didn't go back with me after that for a while because somebody prayed in tongues and there was an interpretation and he was like, he grew up Catholic and he was like, I don't know what to do with that. So, but I grew up Pentecostal, so I was like, oh, I know what's going on here. Anyways, I digress. I show up Sunday morning, Pastor Mark is there, which is Pastor Peggy's brother, and he's like the senior pastor of the church. They walk me right up. They sit me in the front row. Now, I would never do this to one of you. We've learned some things since then because I was very uncomfortable, but they did not reject me. Pastor Peggy just said, keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. And she started preaching about how God can change your life. And I gave my life back to the Lord. That first night, I gave my life back to the Lord. By the next week, I'm convicted about smoking weed the way that I did. Listen to what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. The way that I did it was wrong. Right? And I start getting convicted. Right? Peggy never said anything to me about smelling that way or whatever. She just kept saying, God loves you. He's got better for you. His call on your life is for your good. And whatever you're looking to besides him that you're trying to use to make you happy is just chewing gum. It's never going to satisfy you. Right? So one by one, the harder things started falling off first. I won't go into all the harder things. There were some much harder things. Those things just, I kept coming. And she kept speaking into my life. She went and bought me a Bible. It was a blue, old school, Spirit-filled life Bible for students. And I got in the Word. And I started, instead of going out and having a sesh with my friends or going out to the club and taking something and dancing all night, I would stay in and I would be in the Word. And I started to remember the sweetness because, again, from a child, there was seed in me. You were talking about seed. There was seed in me. And I started falling in love with God's word. And then the crazy thing was, as I began to put the word in me, the word was becoming a part of me. And my life started to change and the hard things started falling off. They just kept falling off. And I got down to where, I mean, I was, within a year, I was drug free. Within a year. 1 year. 1 year. But I was still smoking those cigarettes, boy, because when you smoke those things, it's worse than crack. You know, it's hard to get off of those things. And Pastor Peggy, and here's the crazy thing. Pastor Peggy would always just tell me, that's not good for you, but God loves you. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, I come from that religious tradition that if you're doing something wrong, God's gonna punish you to teach you a lesson. Instead of the biblical way that God has already judged evil, and what God comes to deal with in judgment is evil, not people. But if you hold on to evil, it'll drag you into judgment that God doesn't want for you. And all you've got to do in order to avoid the judgment, doesn't the Bible say, judge yourself and you won't be judged? You just let go of evil and God will put you right back where you need to be. Are you with me? And so she just kept loving me. She didn't say it was okay, and you didn't hear me say that. You never heard me say she didn't challenge me. But the way she challenged me was God loves you and he has better for you. And that's just gonna hurt you in the long run. It's just gonna hold you back and hurt you. And I remember after about 3 months, so this would be 13 months in, I got baptized, actually out behind Trump's. My dad took me out behind Trump's tower there in the Intercoastal Waterway. We took three witnesses with us, and he baptized me, and that was the last day that I ever smoked a cigarette, last time. Right? Now again, listen to what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. So let's all right now just say, right now, everybody say with me, I rebuke and refuse fear and condemnation. They have no place here. Okay, so we're all on the same page. I'm telling you my story. It's reality. Jesus always told the truth, but he did it in love. Right? Peggy always told me the truth. She told me the flat out plain truth, but she always did it in love. I always got the sense that it's not, oh, I'm so frustrated with you. It was always, you've got so much more that you can do. You've got so much more that you can offer. You've got so much more that you can have. Are you with me? And 2 years from that day, I was in Bible college in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, meeting that lovely little lady right there. It was being connected to the church that put me back on track. The world didn't save me. They didn't do me any good. Oh, you don't have friends like me. Dude, I had friends that boasted twice what your friends boasted. We slept in tents together on the streets. But at the end of the day, you need the Jesus in your friends more than you need your friends. God has created us to exist together, to pollinate one another. And the crazy thing is, if you go back to that tangerine tree, if you put one kind of tangerine next to another kind of tangerine, they cross-pollinate and you get a hybrid. Sometimes what God wants to do is take the you, the Jesus in you, and the Jesus in me, and make a mixture of the gift in me and the gift in you and bring out something new for the body. Are you with me? But you need the body. You need it. It's a requirement. It's the gift of belonging. And I think it's funny because you know, I mentioned Pastor Peggy or whatever, and I never knew. Again, what do we follow here? Rules of biblical. I never knew that women couldn't be preachers until I moved to Oklahoma. I had never heard of such a thing. And I thought it was funny because the first time I heard that, I was like, huh, so the devil got my whole family saved? Saved and loving and serving Jesus? All of us? I thought a house divided against itself can't stand. Huh. Interesting that. Come on, somebody. Right? So here's what I want to point out in the few minutes that we have left. Remember, I said it's a letter. It's a letter God's writing to you. I don't care where you're at. Say it again with me. I rebuke fear. And I rebuke condemnation. And I receive grace and direction and conviction. Are you with me? I will. Thank you, Lord. What's the difference between condemnation and conviction? I'll tell you. Condemnation is, that's it. You've had it. Now you're going to pay. Conviction is, hey, you don't have to be going through that. There's better for you. Conviction always has the element of hope because you can go 1,000 steps away from God. He's always just one step back. And now me and my wife have been in the ministry for more than 20 years. This past weekend, my oldest son, Aiden, took the knee and asked Persephone Iris to marry him at Jubilee, and she said yes. My son, Liam, is planning to go to the same Bible college we went to. By the way, my oldest son, Aiden, completed his first year at Bible college. Right? You never know what just that simple belonging, receiving the gift of belonging, not how it's just going to affect you, but how it's going to affect your legacy, your destiny. God doesn't just work through individuals. He works through families. And I don't care how low you went, how bad it got. I'm getting ahead of myself. Here are my points. Listen, let me put some edges on this. Number one. Never stop believing that God can reach your loved ones, no matter how bad it looks. Never stop believing that. The Bible says in Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 8, I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. Right? I will hiss for them. What does that mean? Okay, man, I wish Kaida was here. I don't see her. Anybody been to the weed lately? It's okay. You can raise your hand. Anybody been to the weed lately? Come on. Nobody wants to? Okay. Well, everybody knows that even when the music is loud, I don't care where you're at, no matter, everybody say distraction. No matter how loud the distraction is, if you're in the club and you go, whoever's close to you is going to look at you. If you're out there in the foyer, whatever it's called, lobby, and somebody goes, psst, 15 people will turn around and look. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, I'm going to be there. Psst, I'm going to try to get their attention. Psst, never stop believing that God is able to get their attention. Never stop believing that God is able to get their attention. And always pray and always believe that God is able to get their attention. Especially when things get bad. I will, thank you. Especially when things get bad. Sometimes it looks really, really bad, but it's because they're going through that process that I went through of hitting their head on the wall, looking for things, trying to fill holes that aren't there. Sometimes hard-headed people have to learn the hard-headed way. You know what I mean? Sometimes hard-headed people have to learn the hard-headed way. And sometimes that's just God has to let them have their way with themselves until they realize that they can't make themselves happy. And then they end up on a tailgate, looking up at the stars, crying out for God. Are you with me? Number two, never stop believing that Jesus wants you connected to his body, the church. Being a part of the church God called you to is the gift of belonging. But you have to remember, in my story, remember, I say this all the time, I'm going to tell you again. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, you are the body of Christ and parts of each other. Right? It says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. How many of you know when you take stones to build a building, back in those days, it wasn't brick. They went and got stones. And in order to make those stones fit together, they had to break off those rough edges. There are going to be people that you meet in the house that God called you to, and they're going to rub you the wrong way. But it might not be them. It might be God rubbing your rough edges off. You might need that person more than you need the person that you love. Isn't it funny how we surround ourselves with people that are just like us? Talk like us, look like us, walk like us, dress like us, believe exactly the way we do. You need that one friend that's like, nah, I don't believe that. One of my very, very best friends in the world, a brother to me, we disagree on a lot of stuff. In the word, but in the essentials, there is unity. But in the non-essentials, there's liberty. But we only like to hang out with the people that believe just like us and act just like us and talk just like us. And that's how you get cliques within a church and then a church splits. We don't do cliques here. You guys know that. There's no closed circles here and we don't do cliques. Everybody believes, everybody belongs. And what do we say here? You belong before you believe. Right? Never stop believing that God wants you to be a part of his church. He has called you to be a part of the body, and you cannot grow in your intimacy with him beyond a certain point without allowing him to move through you to minister in the body to someone else. It's a part of being a Christian. Being fused to him and then used by him. Right? What's the result of the connection to the vine? Fruit. So let me ask you this. If you're a branch and you produce fruit, who's the fruit for? Not the branch. Right? I don't preach to myself. He preaches to me, and then I preach to you. Sometimes I do have to look at myself in the mirror and say, you don't know anything. But that's a different thing. Never stop believing that he wants you connected to the body of Christ. Never stop believing that there is a place that he has called you to be and that there is a gift of belonging, that you're a gift to them. If God has called you to a place, it's because he wants whatever he put in you to be a part of the DNA of that place. Are you with me? And number three. Now we just came out of Jubilee, and we talked about how, has anybody noticed there's a shaking going on in the world? Didn't God say in Hebrews, he said, I will once more shake everything so that what can't be shaken will remain. You know what's unshakable? His word. His word is the unshakable. never stop believing that his word is true, that it's full of life and power, and that it is the foundation that you need to build your life on. It's his word. And where anything disagrees with the word, you go with the word. And if you don't understand, then you go to the body of Christ and you find someone who knows it better than you, and you get your roots tangled in their roots, and you learn the word so that you know and you're not unshakable, and so that you become unshakable. Are you with me? That word will change you. That word will deliver you. It'll change the trajectory of your life. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. How many of us, we get into the Facebook and we get our mind all knotted up, we get our will all confused, we get our emotions all fired up? When you go to the word of God, you get your mind renewed. You get your will submitted. And you get your emotions under control. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We got to get back to the word, especially in the days that are coming, guys, especially with all the delusion and all the fake stuff that's going on, right? Right now, friend just means somebody that follows me on Facebook. Friend used to mean, think about this. 1,000 years ago, the word friend, if I called you my friend, Abraham was God's friend. If I called you my friend, it meant we were in covenant. And what that meant was, if you called me and had a fight with a king, me and all, we're rolling deep to you right now. We're gonna go take care of it. And if you ran out of food and I had food, guess who had food? You did. And vice versa. That was a friend. Now friend is like, oh, I like the way he looks in that. Like, follow. That's not a friend. That's fake. Right? And Facebook really, and social media altogether. And again, listen to what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. It's a useful tool. And it's great for staying in contact with family and friends or whatever. But it's become this pseudo church. I'm a part of this group, and I'm a part of this group, and I follow this person, and I project this image. We don't post the bad stuff, though. We only post the good stuff. And isn't that what we do? Our society does sometimes in church, even. We'll come here. How are you? Blessed and highly favored. The wife's walking behind you going, you're just yelling at me in the car on the way here. Highly favored. You know, kids come in crying. I don't know what's wrong with them. You were probably whooping them in the back seat on the way to church. Are you with me? We got to get back to the word. The word is our foundation. Amen? And in the word, it says, you belong here. You belong to the church that God's called you to. Are you with me? That's where you put down roots. That's where you belong. That's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to prosper. Do people sometimes move? Yeah, they do, but sometimes you do transplant a tree, but why would you transplant that tree? It's because, again, that DNA in that tree, you want to cross-pollinate so that maybe this other grove can have that flavor that is over here so that we have more of that flavor in this next season. I'm telling you right now, if you're here, it's for such a time as this. And it's because God has planted you here. And because you're going to bloom and you're going to bear fruit, and that fruit is going to become a part of the next great awakening in this nation. And it's going to start in the local church. It's going to start in the local church. So I want to ask you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is where I'm going to close. As I was speaking today, you were convicted. You were convinced. And repentance needs to happen. Now, repentance just means you need to change your mind about something. Doesn't mean God's mad at you. Doesn't mean he's holding something against you. It does mean if you don't change your mind about it, you're still going to keep having the same thing. You have to change your mind and come back to God in that area. And let's all just do that together. So you were convicted. You were convinced. That's me, Pastor Will. Pray for me. Lift up your hand. Put it right back down. I see yours and yours. Yes, and yours all over the place. Come on, just show me and show God just as an act of faith, just as an act of submission. I know there's more than that. One more time, I'll ask. That's me, Pastor Will. Pray for me. I see your hand. Good job. Be brave. Just put it up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Good job. I see your hand. Good job. Thank you, Lord. So everybody just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I need Jesus. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. I make a new decision to follow you, to change, to grow. Thank you for the gift of belonging. Thank you for your church. Give me clarity. Help me to plant my roots deep so that I may grow to the height that you've called me to. Father, thank you for forgiveness in Jesus' name. And everybody said, now stand up on your feet and praise God for it. Come on.